And as we look at, now we're only going to go one way in the Bible, so you won't have to go back and forth. So once you start in Genesis, where we will begin, we'll go clear through to the New Testament. So let's start tonight in the beginning of beginnings, the book of beginnings, Genesis chapter number 18. Genesis chapter number 18. Now, we're not going to go as fast as a sword drill, of course, because I do want you to find them. Genesis chapter 18, and find your way down to verse number 14. And the question is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Turn to the book of Numbers, if you will. Numbers. Look for a silver thread. Chapter 11. Numbers 11. Look for a silver thread in all of this. Numbers 11, verse 23. And the Lord said unto Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. Turn to the weeping prophet that we saw this morning, the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter number 32, if you will. Jeremiah chapter number 32 and verse number 17. Jeremiah 32 verse 17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Do you remember for a moment here? Do you remember back in Genesis, the first verse that we looked at? It was a question. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Have you ever come in the Bible reading something that says, I don't quite understand that. I don't know what all that means. I'll tell you, folks, just keep on reading. The Bible will interpret itself. The line upon line, precept upon precept, you will find the Bible will explain itself. Sometimes I'm not opposed to commentaries. I got a bunch of them. I'm not opposed to books. I have a bunch of them. But I'll tell you, folks, what a joy it is when you go to the Word of God in itself and you find what God has to say compared to what God has to say. I always like finding a passage, studying it, and then I go find out the Dr. So-and-so agrees with me. The question was, is anything too hard for the Lord? Well, if you got to keep reading through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, you got to keep on reading till you get to the book of Jeremiah and the 17th chapter and verse 11, and the Bible answers the question. There is nothing too hard for thee. Turn to the book of Daniel, if you will. Daniel, chapter number 3. And verse number 17, Daniel chapter 3 and verse number 17. But if not be known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the image which thou hast made. I'm sorry, I was down in verse 18. Verse 17. If so be, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. And then he says, but even if God doesn't do it, we're not gonna bow to you. We'd rather die victorious in Jesus than to bow the knee to you, king. Let's go to the New Testament in Luke chapter number 1, if you will. Luke, the beloved physician. Luke chapter 1 and verse number 37. Luke 1:37. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Turn to the book of Ephesians, if you will. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 20. And the Bible says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Folks, let me pause here for a moment. Let me ask you a question. I know the answer, but I want you to tell me anyway. Do you believe that this Bible, King James Bible, is the very Word of God? Do you believe that? Yes. Do you believe God had He inspired it. God breathed it. You believe every word is God breathed and God preserved for us tonight? Do you believe that? Then you have to believe God put the amen in there. God amened himself. He did. He put that in there. And I have learned a long time, and amen just means agreement. I in agreement. When a preacher says, says something and he goes like that, amen. And he said, you agreeing? You agreeing. And that's what I want to agree with God. How about you? So could we do this? It's the last service. But could we do this? And whenever I might read a verse of scripture tonight, and I will, when God says amen, why don't we just say amen when God says amen? None of us say, I agree. I agree. So when the Bible says amen, we say amen. I'm going to read these verses again, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Oh, world without end. Amen. Turn to Hebrews chapter number 7, verse 25. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse number 25. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Folks, tonight, I want to give you three words tonight that will change your life. Three words that will change your ministry. Three words that will change your church for all of time and for all of eternity. Three words tonight if we think of them through the service. Three words tonight if we think of them when we go home. Three words tonight if we think of them when we go to bed. Three words when we think of them when we get up in the morning and go about our day. Three simple words iterated in all of these verses and taught in all of these verses tonight. Three simple words. God is able. Would you say that with me tonight? God is able. Now you say it to make the devil mad. God is able tonight. The Bible tells us in Ephesians, especially in Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20 passage, he not only is able, he is exceedingly able above all that we ask or think. Do you realize tonight you cannot ask anything that's too hard for God? Can you realize tonight you cannot ask anything that's too difficult for God? Do you realize tonight that God has the might and God has the power to do anything exceedingly able above all that we ask? Not only that, but you can't even think of something that's too hard for God. In Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, God came to Abram and said, I am the Almighty God. And men and women and churches and pastors and deacons and Sunday school teachers and bus workers are in trouble today because their God is too small. They don't know the might and the majesty of the God that we serve. They don't realize the one who breathed the stars, spoke the stars into the universe and breathed life into man is the Almighty God who dwells in us through the person of the Holy Spirit tonight. And there is nothing too hard for God tonight. Yeah, I'm sure you probably heard about that little boy to come home from Sunday school. And mama said, son, what'd you learn in Sunday school today? Oh, mama, we learned about Moses. Really? What about? Oh, we learned how Moses led God's people through the Red Sea. Well, why don't you tell me about it? He goes, okay, mama, sit down. I'll tell you. Said, well, mama, there was a General Moses, and he had all the people there, and the Pharaoh's army was coming after him because he got the satellite images on his Google map, and he saw them coming after them. So he text messaged headquarters and sent them a text message of what was happening. They immediately sent out all the jet airplanes and cluster bombs, all the Egyptians to hold them back. Then the Seabees came in and they built pontoon bridges from one side of the Red Sea to the other side. And then, mama, they brought in all these transports and they loaded all the people on these transports and they drove them across the bridge on the other side. And then the demolition team came in and they set depth charges on those pontoon bridges. And then by way of satellite, they were able to see when Pharaoh's army was on the bridge, and then they blew it up, and they drowned all the Egyptian army. Mama says, son, are you sure that's what you learned in Sunday school today? And she said, he said, well, Mama, if I told you the way she told me, you'd never believe it. And you know, we kind of laugh at that and we kind of chuckle about that. But is our God any less powerful today than he was back then? Can he not divide the Red Sea that you are facing? Can he not move mountains that you are facing? Is his power any less today than it was the day that he had delivered Israel out of Egypt land and over the Red Sea? I want to preach tonight for a few moments on the awesome power of the Almighty God. And those three simple words, say them again with me tonight. What are they? God is able tonight. We are in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse number 25, and the Bible makes it very clear, wherefore he is able also to save. God is still in the soul-saving business. God can still save souls. Some of you might feel tonight, and you're just, oh, I don't know, I've been praying for my daddy, I've been praying for my mama, I've been praying for my grandma, or I've been praying for my son and my daughter, and oh, they're no closer to God. As a matter of fact, they just seem further. God is able to save souls. You just keep on praying and keep on living the Christian life and being a good testimony and raising high the name of Jesus and praising him for all things. And God can save souls. I had a woman come to my church one time, and she got saved. She was a young bride. I don't know how long they were married. I think it was less than a year. And she got saved, and she went home and told her husband. Her husband got mad at her. He got upset with her, and he says, I'm going to that church, and I'm going to see what's going on down there. He was a biker. I mean, he wasn't one of these Honda Gold Wings. He was the hog type. I mean, the Harleys. You know what I mean? With the chains and the mama tattoo and, you know, all this. I mean, he was a big guy. And he come to church. I mean, we didn't have a wide aisle like you had here, and his elbows brushed both sides of the pews walking down. He was big, and he sat down. He sat on the edge of the middle, and he sat, and he was looking forward, and he kind of sat like this. He had one leg out in the aisle, and he's looking at me like this. And I was preaching. I still remember the sermon I preached that day. It was called Hell, Home of the Doomed. And he sat there and that whole time he glared at me. His wife, she was embarrassed because sometimes he'd almost snarl as I was preaching. But I kept on preaching about a heaven that was sweet and a hell that was hot. And all of a sudden, he stands up. Now, folks, I didn't ask anybody to stand up. He starts walking towards the front. I didn't ask anybody to come forward. I'm behind the pulpit. Several thoughts went through my mind. First, where are my deacons? They're supposed to tackle guys like that. And he's walking down like that. And I'm here, and I'm figuring, okay, if he comes on this side, the piano's over here, I'll just go that way. If he comes on this side, I'll push the pulpit and wedge him between the piano, and I'll go down this side. So while he's coming down like this, I'm there going, trying to figure out which side he's going to come at me. He got about three rows back, and all of a sudden he stopped and says, I can't wait. Can I get saved now? Now you got to wait for the invitation. No, I don't. He got saved. He sold his motorcycle, gave the money to the building fund. His wife said, I never thought he'd get saved. He not only got saved, he got a good dose of salvation. He got baptized. Then he'd go out soul winning. He'd come back to the church. He said, preacher, to save by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, he was so excited. Listen, God can save. Not only can God save any soul, but bless God, he can keep them saved. Saved to the end. I don't understand these people who believe you can be saved one day and then lost the next. God will love you one day and then drop you the next. My Bible tells me they have eternal life and they shall never perish. My Bible tells me that we are past from death unto life. My Bible tells me it's everlasting life. Some people think that salvation is like a bicycle. You got to keep pedaling or you fall off of it. Not at all. It's all by the grace of God. Has anybody ever told you that church is a crutch? Religion is a crutch for people that are too weak to do it on their own? I want you to know tonight, I'm going on record tonight. For me, my faith in Christ, my walk with the Lord is not a crutch for me. It's a stretcher. Now you stop and think about it, folks. What does a crutch do? It helps you. You do a little bit and you lean on the crutch, right? Right? And what you can't do, the crutch is supposed to do for you. That's not how you got saved. Not that you did a little bit and God did a little bit and then you get at the end of your journey. No. It's like a stretcher. And the grace of God, He carries you through. See, it's nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling, as the songwriter said tonight. It's a stretcher for me. I did nothing but to rest under grace of God. God is still in the soul-saving business. But I want you to notice something else tonight. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I quoted it many times this week. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, some of you know it from memory, and it's a good verse to memorize. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. God is able to change and transform lives. So many people say, I wish I could have a new life. You can. I wish I could have a new beginning. You can. You could be born again and live a new life for God. Now, folks, I can honestly say from the sincerity of my heart, I look out among any of you today. I could not picture any of you smoking a cigarette. I could not picture any of you holding a can of Budweiser. I cannot picture any of you with profanity out of your mouth. And some of you can look at me and say, you didn't know me before I was saved. What happened? You were changed. You were not reformed. You were changed. Why? Because the Bible says when we are in Christ, we are new. It's kind of like getting married. Things sure change when you get married. I mean, there's a lot of changes. You no longer think of yourself. Now you think of your spouse. Before, when you were single, hey, 2 o'clock in the morning, you want to go out for pizza? You go out for pizza. That's it, you know. Now you don't do that. Because someone new has come to live with you. And so it is when you got saved, someone new came to live inside of you. And that's Jesus. And nobody's changed me, humanly speaking, as much as my wife. For the good, I must say. I really hope someday you can meet her. But, you know, if any man be in Christ, you can change. We had a fellow come to my church. His name was Jack. He was cold on God. Cold on God. He'd sit always in the back row, and while I'm preaching, he's clipping his fingernails. And you could hear it. Click, 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 click. I had some women complain to me that when they got home, there were nails in the back of her hair. They went flying as he clipped them. He'd work on his day timer. He was so cold on God. We had an evangelist in. 8-day meeting, 8-day revival. He took a liking to the evangelist Sunday morning. But he got sick Sunday afternoon and couldn't come Sunday night. Monday and Tuesday, he missed work, wasn't feeling well. Wednesday, he felt a little bit better. Thursday, he went back to work, but had to come home after a half a day because he got ill again. He stayed home Friday. He missed a Saturday meeting. He missed Sunday morning. He says, I want to make one more service. I want to hear that evangelist again. And he came and that evangelist that night poured his heart out. I was on the platform. The invitation was given. I saw Jack for the first time with a softness on his face. And he starts walking down the aisle. I couldn't take it. I ran down to meet him. I mean, he was 3/4 of the way back. I went back to meet him. And he said, "Preacher, if God can change my life and turn me around, I'd be grateful if he'll do that." He come to the altar. The church began to cry because we all knew his heart. His wife knelt next to him and she was weeping and she was crying. God changed him that night. He was an executive for a high company. Flew on the corporate plane. Had a company car. High level. He was nearing retirement age. About a month after he was saved, he comes down the aisle and he said, "Preacher, when I was a young person, I told the Lord I'd go to Bible college. But I wanted to work and save some money. And before I knew it, I was successful in work and I worked my way up the corporate ladder. And I never got to go. Do you think I can go now?" I said, "Jack, you pray about that." He did, and he come down the aisle again, and then surrendered to the Lord. He quit his job at Uniroyal. Everybody said, "You're crazy. You're so near retirement." He said, "No, I have to do what God wants me to do." He went to Bible college. When he walked across that, I was at his graduation. Tears running down my eyes as I saw him walk across that platform. When he got his diploma, he stopped. And he knew where I was sitting, and he looked at me with a smile. God changed him. Went to Indiana, started a church, pastored it until God called him home. Listen, folks, God can change you tonight. If any man be in Christ, that's what it means. Would you let God change you tonight? You don't have to think the thoughts you think. You don't have to have the actions you have tonight. Because Christ and the Holy Spirit is within you to change you and transform you tonight. If you will let him. We are in a hurry tonight, but there's another thought here. Turn to the book of Jude. I'm not going to tell you what chapter. But if you have more than one, see me right after the service. Jude 24. Now remember what we learned about what God had inspired in the Bible. "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." Have you ever made a promise to God and didn't keep it? Maybe made a vow to God and you messed up and didn't keep it. God kept his end, didn't he? You said, "Lord, you just get me out of this, God. I promise I'm going to..." Well, God did his end, but we forgot ours. But you know, you don't have to keep falling. The Bible says here, he is able to keep you on track. He is able to keep you from falling. Well, then why don't he? Because you see, you are not a puppet tonight. There are some that would like have you believe that. That God controls so much of our life. He pulls all the strings that even when we sin, it's his fault. Nothing could be further from the truth. No, not taught in the scripture. God giving you a free will tonight. It would have been a whole lot easier on him if he didn't, but he did. And you have the ability tonight to receive or reject the plan of God tonight. But the Bible says he's able to keep you from falling. Then why do we keep falling? Every once in a while, and oh, by the way, tonight, I probably should have said this at the beginning, but I need to thank you so much for your kindness this week. Folks, you have bestowed upon me blessing upon blessing. I came and said, "Lord, help me be a blessing," but I feel like I received more than what I gave. You've taken good care of me, with meals, wonderful accommodations, and your attendance and faithfulness, and you bought me that book. And I thank you. You treat guests very, very well. And may God continue to bless you because you are a blessing to somebody else. But every once in a while, our church will put me up in a motel room. And I love your prophet's chamber. Nothing wrong with that at all. But they'll put me up in a motel with a king-size bed. That thing is huge. 6, 7, 8 pillows across the thing, you know. It is huge. You need a GPS to find your way around in it, you know. Okay, locate nearest location of pillow. All right. I sleep in that bed as big as that bed is. If I sleep on the edge, I can fall off. Right? But the bed is so big! I know, but if I stay on the edge, I can fall off. Now, if I get all the way in, I can roll over, I could sleep this way, that way, this way, every which way, and still be in the bed. Now, the reason why we keep falling is because we stay too close to the edge of our Christianity. We don't get all the way in. You got saved. You never got baptized. You didn't join the church. You're not showing up for visitation. You're not coming to Sunday school. You're not coming Sunday night or Wednesday night. I say to you tonight, get all the way into the ministry. Get all the way in. And even tonight, present yourself for baptism. Present yourself for membership. Get all the way in, lest we stay on the edge all the time. A little boy kept falling out of bed. And when his father asked him about it, why do you keep falling out of bed? He said, because I sleep too close to where I got in. You got in. The family of God, praise his name. Now get all the way in. Be part of the family of God here. Well, there's some folks in the church. I'm not going to mention Uncle Joe tonight. I'm glad I got to meet him. Bless his heart. Yeah, there may be some that, you know, you're kind of thinking, he's kind of weird, you know, and he's kind of different. But listen, we're still the family of God. We're going to be together throughout all of eternity. So let's just practice down here getting along. Anybody can criticize and find fault. But get all the way in the ministry. And by the way, you don't become part of the ministry because of other people. You become part of the ministry here because of the Lord. He's the one that died for your sins, and he's the one you serve. Yes, we serve in harmony and under the authority of the church. I understand that. But tonight, some of you have never been baptized, and you need to be. Some of you have not joined the church. I don't know, but maybe perhaps you need tonight. At an altar, say, Lord, I'm presenting myself to you, to the membership of this church, and tell the preacher about it. And he'll take it from there and tell you what needs to be done. Some of you need to say, preacher, can I help on the bus route? Preacher, can I help in Sunday school? Preacher, what time is visitation? I want to be part of it. You don't have to say anything. Just go along, be a silent partner. But get what I'm trying to say is get to tithing, get to missions offering, get all the way in. He is able to keep you from falling if you are willing to get all the way in. And then lastly, and I'll be done. And this is the hardest part of the message for me tonight. If I could, I would cut this out of the message. But I can't because it's in the Word of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Have you remembered the words tonight? The three words, would you say them together with me, please? What are they? God is able. Able to save, still able to save souls. He's able to keep souls saved. He's able to change lives. He's able to keep you from falling. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we read these words, verse 25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, of course, some, yes, but not many. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And things that are base of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not to bring to naught, things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Folks, God can use you tonight. You say, well, preacher, I don't have a lot of talent. God doesn't want your talent. He wants your heart. Tonight, you look at me. And you see Brother Souza up here tonight. You're looking at a miracle tonight. I am the least likely person to stand before you. I'm going to open up part of my personal life to you tonight. When I was growing up, I wasn't popular among the kids. I wasn't athletic. I wasn't smart in school. I spent 2 years in the fifth grade because I didn't know enough math to go on to sixth. Neighborhood kids would play baseball. They never want me on their team. I was always the last one to get chosen. They would come down and choose that, okay, we'll take Danny Souza. Come on. They said, look, go out into the field, sit down, and do nothing. If a ball comes out there, we'll send somebody to go get it. So I go out to the field, left field, right field, center field. Didn't make any difference. I had my choice. I sit down and I play with the ants. Look for four-leaf clovers. Ball come by, somebody gets it, throws it in. When we come to the plate and I turn the bat, I was always the last one. And I could still hear the taunting. I could still hear the mockery. Easy out, easy out, easy out. And that was my team saying that. And I'd strike out. When I was growing, it didn't get any better. I had another problem. I had a stuttering problem. I had a little speech impediment. In school, I don't know if any of you in school ever have to give oral reports. Dreaded those. I would stand up and I would give my report and I would go, and Abraham Lincoln was president of the United States. And kids would laugh. And they'd mock. They'd gag themselves. I'd burst out in tears, embarrassment, and tell the teacher, give me a zero. I don't care. I wasn't big in the brain department. Like I said, I repeated the fifth grade and struggled along. Then something happened on August 20th, 1962, in a little Baptist church in Waterbury, Connecticut. Sunday night service. I love this Sunday night crowd. God reached down that night. We didn't even have a pastor. The church was without a pastor. We had a visiting speaker. And God reached down that night and touched my heart. And God saved my soul. And the night God saved me, I felt God call me to preach. To God, you just made a big mistake. You see, the Bible says here, not many mighty men, not many talented, noble. But what did God choose? The foolish things of the world? Things which are despised? Hey, that was me. God chose. I went to my high school counselor. I walked in the office. He said, Danny, what are you here for? I said, well, I'm going to go to college. I'll never forget it. He had one of these big high back judge's chairs, you know, the back ones. He put his hand on the desk and he pushed that chair back and he leaned back and he laughed. And he goes, ha, ha, that's a good one. You got me. Why'd you really come in here? I said, I'm going to college. He goes, you're serious? I said, yes. He went to the file drawer. He pulled out all my grades, all my transcripts. He said, there's not a college in the world that would accept you. I said, I'm going to try. I filled out an application. I sent it in. A few weeks later, I got a letter back. I was so scared to open it. I thought I was going to see all over that application, rejected, 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 rejected. I opened it. I didn't see any red, so I figured that was a good sign. And I began reading, Dear Mr. Souza, the admission committee has received your application, and upon reviewing your personal testimony, you had to write out a testimony, you know, and your references, you had to have references to your pastor and Sunday school teacher or somebody, said, and your scholastic ability. So that had to be the one. They voted unanimously. I figured, oh man, not even one on my side. I kept reading. They voted unanimously to accept me for the next academic year. Then they had a little phrase that said, on academic probation. I had no idea what that meant. I thought it was something good. I took that letter. I went back to the school that Monday. I walked into Mr. I almost said his name. I don't want to say his name. I walked into my counselor's office. I go, you said I could get it at college. I got it at college. And not only did I get it at college, but they're giving me academic probation besides. He goes, go to the library. I did. I bet they're giving me a chance. That's all I wanted. Come. If you get the grades, you can stay. They're giving me a chance. That's all I wanted. Just a chance. The first semester. Call the school and ask them. It's on record. The first semester, I made the dean's list. Now, I don't mean his prayer list. I mean, you know, all the ace. There was my name. Wow. Had 5 years of Bible college. I had 3 years of Greek, 2 years of Hebrew. English gave me a little bit of a problem. Met my wife, got married, went back for my last year, made the dean's list again. Graduated. And God loosened my tongue. You've been kind, folks, but some of you might have picked up on it. Every once in a while, I still do stutter over a word. Every once in a while, I mispronounce something terribly as my tongue just doesn't seem to work the way I want it to. And that's just God telling me, don't forget it's not you. It's me. And folks, that's what God wants to do for you tonight. You young people here tonight, God can use you, but so can the devil. God wants to use you, so does the devil. Whom will you give yourself to? And folks, would you stop making excuses of why you can't do something for God tonight? If God was done with you, he'd call you to glory. But he's not done with you. That's why you're still here. You say, well, preacher, I'm old and I can't do much. And preacher, I'm on fixed income and I can't do much. But you can do something. Just do what God wants you to do and you will be blessed by God. But be willing tonight to be used by him tonight. You see, when you're at work, and your shift is over, and you punch out or clock out or sign out, whatever you do, where do you go? You go home. When our work is finished here, God says, come on home. But right now we're in the labor force. Right now we're still working the shift that God has put us in. Be faithful, folks. Be faithful. Don't quit tonight. Get all the way in tonight. Be part. If you have not filled out a card, or if God laid in your heart to even increase it, then do that. But get all the way in tonight. Get saved. If you're not saved tonight, would you give your heart to Jesus, young people, tonight? I don't know your heart tonight. Moms and dads, I don't know your heart tonight. But if you're not really saved tonight, and you don't have that down in your, that assurance down in your heart tonight, why don't you nail it down tonight? And then get all the way in. Get baptized. Join the church. Be involved in the work and in the ministry here. For we have a great God. For, remember those three words, what are they? God is able. Are you willing? Are you willing tonight? I'm going to give the invitation tonight, as I have so many. I have some other things that I'm not going to preach no more tonight. I'm going to give the invitation tonight, as I have every night. And tonight's invitation is very simple. It's very plain. If you're not saved tonight, why don't you walk down an aisle and give your heart to Jesus tonight? Go to the preacher. Go to somebody that you know in the church that knows the Lord and say, I want to be saved. Oh, they'll love you to death and show you the way to Calvary tonight. No one's going to laugh at you. No one's going to mock at you. Well, you'll never know such love among God's people until you become one of them. And tonight, I'm going to ask, my heart is burdened, especially for some of the young people that are here tonight. I'm going to ask you tonight to say to God, God, you can use me. And I'm willing to be used by you. And tonight, I'm surrendering to God. Would you be willing to walk down an aisle and kneel and say, God, tonight, you have all of me tonight. Moms and dads, you have something too big for you, too hard for you, but not too hard for God. I'm going to ask you to bring that to the altar tonight. I'm going to say, Lord, I can't do this, Lord, but you can. Maybe it's an unsaved loved one. Maybe as you prayed Wednesday night and that great service that we had tonight again, you remember that loved one and that friend. God, you are able to save them. You are able to save them. Or if you have whatever the request is tonight, too big for you, but not too big for God tonight, would you bring it to an altar? Would you just bow your heads for a moment and pray?